WBSM presents Brian's Beat with Brian Thomas, streaming live on WBSM.com and the WBSM app. Call 508-996-0500. Send us app chat messages and open line voicemails using the WBSM app. Now, Brian Thomas.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Welcome to Friday, the end of the traditional work week. And I hope you're getting ready for a great weekend. I'm not sure the weather's going to cooperate, but it's still the weekend. Today, we wrap up Employee Brotherhood Day. Now it's Employee Brotherhood Night. If you work the second or the third shift, it is Employee Brotherhood Night. It's also Love Your Lawyer Day. Maybe if you're married to one or it's a family member, it's one thing. But most people don't love their lawyer unless the lawyer is getting them off on a rap, something like that. Love Your Lawyer Day. It's also Notary Public Day. Some countries, a notary public is an attorney. Anyway, the Brian's Beat quote of the day. It isn't enough to talk about peace. One must believe in it. And it isn't enough to believe in it. One must work at it. It isn't enough to talk about peace. One must believe in it. And it isn't enough to believe in it. One must work at it. Eleanor Roosevelt, no relation to Eleanor Rigby. Eleanor Roosevelt, the first lady to FDR. And I heard Mike Roberts bring it up, and I was thinking about this. In fact, a friend of mine actually sent a video image over to me of the new, I don't know if I want to call it a vanity plate. I don't know if you go out and get the new mass 250 license plate, if you can get it vanitized. So in other words, if you want to have B-Beat for Brian's Beat on the plate, I don't know if you can do that or not. But they're going to cost about $100. 29,000 are out there already. And I guess I should have known this, but I didn't really think about it, that the Cape and Islands plate are the hottest license plates out there. I don't know. I was talking to somebody else about the 250th anniversary, someone who doesn't like the turn of events going on in the country. And he told me he's not even sure if he's going to celebrate 250 years. And I kind of looked, I mean, I understand the sentiment. I really do. But it's the nation's founding. It's the Declaration of Independence. And you're not sure if you want to celebrate that? Not to each their own, I guess. But I don't know. I remember 1976, was it? Yeah, 76, when we had the unveiling of the, was it 76? What year was it? When Lee Iacocca was charged with redoing the Statue of Liberty. What? That wasn't 76, was it? Maybe it was 86? Anyway, it was a pretty big celebration. But this whole thing dealing with the license plate, I don't know if I want to take it that far. I mean, I'm glad we're celebrating. I know a lot of the events that led to the founding of this country took place in our state. But I'm not so sure that I want to go out and get a license plate. For one, I don't believe, and I know I have one, so I guess I'm misspeaking on what I'm saying, but I do not believe that we are required to have a license plate on our vehicle. If we're just doing regular personal travel. If we are driving for business, you know, if I'm being Brian the cab driver, well, then, yes, you do need a license plate. You do need to, if you're doing commercial work from the vehicle, in the vehicle, then you do need a license plate and a license. But I don't believe, and boy, you know, you can go through a lot of struggle trying to get the courts to adhere to what you're talking about. But there's always somebody in that courthouse who does indeed know, and we never hear about it, but those people get off. At any rate, I just don't feel like going through that particular hassle. But why would I want to spend an extra $100 to get a mass 250 license plate when I don't really believe that we should have one? I'm fine paying the amount of money that I pay for the plate that I have on the vehicle, and I don't feel like I need to pay the Registry of Motor Vehicles more money when I'm not even sure what they're doing with that money. I'm not crazy about giving licenses and registrations to people that are here illegally, never mind the fact that I don't think that, you know, if even if they are here illegally, that they need one. I mean, I could really twist and turn all of that, but I don't know. What do you think about this mass 250 license plate? Are you going to go out and get one? Are you going to join the some 29,000 that have already said, yes, I want one? They may have even already started to pay for it. I guess you can't go up to the registry up in the business park and say, hey, can I have one of those plates? You have an extra one? Here's $100, you know? $100, by the way. How much do we... When was the last time I did a registration? I think it was $50 or $60. $100 for the plates. Plus, I think here in the Commonwealth, don't we also, if you're getting new plates, aren't you also paying for the plates along with the registration? Or does it even, it's been so long. I take the plates from the motorhome, put it on the bus, and I don't have to go out and buy new plates. Don't want to buy new plates. All right, 508-996-0500. I just got carried away with this whole thing dealing with the mass license plate. If you were able to hear or participate in last night's program, you may recall that we had two great representatives from Pace Head Start, the executive director and the assistant executive director. And as you could tell, you know, they're trying their best to do what they need to do in order to make sure the people that are hungry are fed. The Head Start workers, money is coming from one segment of government to help finance what they need to do to keep Head Start open. And then the transportation part, I mean, again, it could just be my philosophy, but when I heard, and I think it was Joe Fox who made the statement, that the district attorney's office is funding the money for Head Start to have transportation. Now, a couple of things run through my head when I hear that. First and foremost, the money that goes to the district attorney's office is supposed to be for court and investigation type work. You know, there's been a mysterious death and you've got to pay your people to go look for that. You know, you're paying for your lawyers, you're paying for court costs, that kind of stuff. While I think it's nice that the district attorney feels a need to help the folks over at Head Start and Pace, is that really his money to give to them? One could say, well, sure, it's in their bank account. But the taxpayers funded that money for court work. Right? So all of a sudden, you have a backlog. Here we are, the month of November, you have a backlog of people and cases coming up toward Thanksgiving, and you don't have enough attorneys to argue the case. Or you're out of toilet paper in the bathroom and you can't order any because you're making sure people can get the bus to go to Head Start. So, again, it might just be my philosophy here, but it's like, it's not even robbing Peter to pay Paul. Peter's been paid, and Peter's not going to do the job that Peter's supposed to do with that money. Instead, Peter's giving the money to Mary so Mary can do what she wants with the money. Meanwhile, Peter's got to figure out, if push comes to shove, what am I going to do because I gave that money to Mary? And then when the district attorney does his budget for the next year, well, we need more money because, well, we had to give some money to Head Start so they had transportation. Are you okay with that? Or do you think, well, it's a one-off. It's kind of like an emergency, and we got to take care of each other. 508-996-0500. Again, I hear that side of the story. What I don't want to hear is if the district attorney all of a sudden is crying, I'm broke, and he wants more money. When he gave that money that was supposed to be used, maybe it was supposed to be used for transportation, I don't know. But you don't have it anymore. And the other thing that ran through my mind, I was listening to a libertarian. And then I joined in on the conversation because, what we do is we sit down and we talk about where we are right now. What's that going to lead to over the next 1, 5, 7 years? We don't necessarily go 10 years out because 10 years might be a little hard to predict. 1, 5, 7 years seems pretty darn good. And here's something that you've probably heard me state before, but when I hear other libertarians start talking about it, it makes me feel validated. And here it is. Lots of talk about artificial intelligence. We hear it almost every day. How long do you think it's going to be before artificial intelligence becomes the teacher in the classroom? I'm not trying to say that AI is going to be the best teacher, can do a better job than today's teacher. But you know what AI can do? AI can make sure that just about every fact or figure is correct. AI may not be able to keep attention in a big classroom, but you know what could happen? Folks can have their own AI at home, and kids could learn through the AI system at home or in a learning environment where they want to be and learn. And AI can do a much more efficient job than the teacher in the elementary, middle, and high school. And I assume also college. And I think we're seeing some of this kind of work out right now. Not necessarily in the classroom. I'm going to take that back. Yes, in the classroom. But here's where we're really seeing it work out right now. I did not realize this, but the FAA is short 3,000 air traffic controllers. That was before the federal government shutdown. Now they've got people going off to work. Can't you see artificial, you know, it's already there, but can't you see more artificial intelligence coming in to work for air traffic controllers? You won't need as many humans. The computer can talk very well. People can understand the computer. It's happening. It's going to be in the classroom. It's going to be in the air traffic control towers. 508-996-0500. Thank you for listening to my long-winded diatribe. Hello.
It's always great to listen to your long-winded diatribe. I learned so much.
Thanks.
Very, very good. All right. The DA question. Those funds do not come from the DA's budget. Those funds that he's using, they come from the asset forfeiture. You know, the drug raids and all that. That's where those funds come from.
Now, how do you know that?
I have done my research. I had asked questions about something that happened a few years back and how they were able to fund. And that's where it came from.
So that's actually interesting because most people that lose their assets to asset forfeiture should not have lost those assets, and they couldn't use those assets to help them in court, whether they're guilty or innocent. And so I got a problem with that. Thank you for letting me know. So money that really shouldn't have gone to the district attorney's office has now been used. So it went from there over to help Pace.
Yeah, well, it's called community reinvestment. That's how they do it. Okay.
What a great time. Yeah. Community reinvestment.
Right. And that's what they utilize that quite a bit and funding different community endeavors. And that's been going on for quite some time now.
Well, I know asset forfeiture has been, but I did not realize that you were still able to turn around and give that money to another organization. I guess, well, it's not their money, right?
Correct. Yeah, it's they invested in a lot of things like those neighborhood crime watch. They do drug education. That a lot of those things that we hear running in the background, that's where a lot of this money comes from, and most people don't realize that.
Well, most I didn't, and so that. I appreciate you letting me know, but at the same time, I don't feel any better. Because I know that asset forfeiture is not something that the founding fathers would appreciate or go along with or even wrote up the way that it should be. There has always been a due process. And even the person who is driving a car that had no idea that somebody had drugs in the car loses his or her vehicle and has a devil of a chance trying to get it back. They don't get it back. It gets converted into money, and there goes their investment.
Well, that's the our legislature has done that. That's matter of fact, it's general law. I think it's Chapter 94C, Section 47, if I remember correctly. You can find it in Mass General Law, and that's when that came about. So it's always a very interesting conversation about drug money or forfeited money.
Forfeited vehicles, yeah. Whatever the case may be. And then the person isn't found guilty. Then what? And you still can't, you still have to fight to try to get it back. And you don't get it back.
Correct.
Damn.
Correct. No, it's a long fight trying to get it back. Oh no. We're very, very much aware of that. Especially,
or
in my neighborhood,
or it goes over to Head Start to help with transportation.
Right.
Yeah.
So,
well, thanks for brightening my day.
And the other question that you had about the blue plate. No, that's a specialty plate. And those are assigned. So you can't make it a vanity plate. That's a specialty plate.
Yeah. All right. I mean, a vanity plate costs $100 a year too, doesn't it?
Correct. Yes.
All right, so this is a specialty plate.
They're on the same tier, specialty and vanity. They're on the same tier. So.
And do you have to do it every year?
Every year, yes.
So after next year, it would be mass 251, but they're not going to do a mass 251. So am I going to keep on paying an additional $100 for mass 250 that's long since over?
Yeah, and that's what's pretty interesting about that. That's the one specialty plate that's really not assigned to a fund of some sort, like the other specialty plates are. So a portion of those funds, say that you pay the $100, an extra part of that will go to fund whatever activity that plate is supporting. But the $250 specialty plate has none. So it just goes in the Mass General Fund.
Yeah. Okay. Well, why not? Everything else does. So let me, since you wanted to get into that one, let me ask you the other one, dealing with artificial intelligence.
Okay. That's here, and that's what we're going to see happen in the aviation world. There's no doubt about
aviation it. Aviation, and I was going to say the classroom, but what I feel is going to happen is, we're already seeing it, more and more people are going to be leaving the larger institution classrooms. They'll have artificial intelligence at home, and I know there are going to be some people, well, not everybody can afford, you know what? Get some asset forfeiture money and go out and get your own AI.
And then stay away from those government schools.
Yeah, well, I think people are just going to peel away for one reason or another. Safety, better educate. Yeah, exactly.
It's happening now. So.
It was happening prior to COVID, but COVID tore the Band-Aid off.
It sure did.
All right, my man. Many thanks for your call. I appreciate it. 508-996-0500 is how you get on to Brian's Beat. It's a Friday. Hello.
Hey, Brian, I'm calling about the AI thing.
Yeah.
So by education training, I'm a mathematician, but I work in science. So I want to let you know, part-time, I got this little gig training AI models in mathematics.
Mm-hmm.
They will give you an advanced solution to some advanced equations, and it's so beautiful. But if you play around with parentheses, exponents, and negative signs, it confuses the heck out of them.
Confuses the heck out of me.
Yeah, well, it does all of us, really. But the other thing I wanted to say was, if you've gone on to the YouTube and listened to any music on there lately, it's flooded with AI-generated songs. For example, last week during Halloween time, I was on YouTube and I saw this this video for Michael Jackson's Thriller in an old blues genre.
Oh, boy.
It was, Brian, it was awesome.
Oh, really?
It was absolutely awesome. And since then, like, I listened to most of my music through the headphones on YouTube, and I've heard so many really cool AI-generated songs of songs I like, but done in different genres.
Mm-hmm.
It's awesome. So this whole AI thing, it's scary. It scares me to death, but it also makes me happy as a clam. So...
Well, I think if you are a school teacher, you don't do math teaching or science teaching, correct?
I'm not a school teacher.
Okay. But do you see how the application is going to be able to replace school teachers?
Without a doubt.
Yeah.
Without a doubt.
And I think they're going to go kicking, they being teachers, they're going to go kicking and screaming, but it's a fight that they're not going to win.
Brian, I'll tell you something. This is really probably not a well-liked opinion, but teachers, they have a very hard job. I have taught before at the university level, high school level. I've taught before, not for long stretches of time, a couple of years here, a couple of years there. But I do know that the students in my classes when I was in school doing math and science, there were the mathematicians, the scientists, and then the education majors. And they were a different breed. And they will complain. But as mathematicians and scientists, we go on there and we're using this AI. It's solving problems for us that would take us weeks, months, maybe even years. And it's doing it. If you ask the AI the correct set of prompts and you work on that for maybe half a day, getting the prompts right and, you know, iterate, go through the iterations, you have these beautiful solutions, and it's doing it, and it's giving you all the computer code right there along with it. So it's just beautiful.
So I'm listening to you, and my mind gets a little distracted about all the things you can do, and I believe you are 1,000% correct. What I don't know, and maybe you do because you work with it, if I'm looking for an AI-generated, am I looking for a computer, first of all, AI-generated computer, if that model is going, or am I looking for a robot, what is going to teach my grandchildren?
You're going to have a teacher, okay, a human teacher, to teach the children the correct way to ask the computer models the questions.
So there can't be some kind of curriculum someone purchases with the AI. I'm not sure if I'm talking about a robot or whatever, but something that comes and the parent can then say to the child, depending on the child's age, this is what you're learning today. So the child can then ask AI, whatever we're going to call AI.
Yeah, and so that's pretty much, well, I'm not an expert on this either, okay?
I don't think anybody is.
But I want to tell you what I do know is that a lot of universities are now teaching courses on prompt, they call it prompt engineering. And that's how to ask the AI model the questions that you need to ask them in the right sequence to get the solution that you need. So I don't know how the future of this is going to go. I do know you can ask and get some crazy questions. For example, Brian, let me tell you one thing. I'm not going to throw out any names here or anything, but the company I work for, my boss asked AI, what is our company? Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And it gave him back some scientific paper that was written in the 80s. So I went on to the same AI model, and I wrote into the model, this is what the company I work for does for, this is what they're known for. And then I said, what is this company? And then it told us every single thing about our company that we would want everybody to know. So
now, did it say it or did it print it out?
Oh, no, just print it out to read, you know?
Okay, I think if a kid is going to learn through artificial intelligence, it has to be able to talk whatever language.
They can.
I believe they can. Now, here's the last question, and then I'm going to let you go on to some other folks.
Yeah, thanks.
But
thanks.
That would be, what are we talking about for a price tag for something like this?
I don't know. Right now, there are models you can pay for and get all kinds of crazy stuff that I can't even imagine. And then there are free models also out there.
What?
There are free models
Free models that are going to teach a kid?
Brian, it just, like I said, it depends on who's teaching the kid to ask the right questions.
Hmm.
Right, the right prompts.
So
that's why you
that's
need
the
some
case,
kind of human. What?
If that's the case, I guess I would be. Some company should hire me, and then we go and we start talking to school committees and superintendents and say, look, your taxpayers are screaming foul right now, not because they don't think that kids should be educated, but there is a much less expensive way to do it. We're going to pare this down maybe over 10 years, a tenth of the faculty and staff, so you don't need as many. People are going to cry, holy, you know what? But you know what?
No,
big business will come in and say, you better do it, or we're going to just bulldoze the whole thing.
It's already going on. It's already happening. And the problem I have is not with that technology. The problem I have is that teachers, I'm not putting them down. They do a hard job.
Mm-hmm.
But they think that they're very, very smart. Maybe they think sometimes that they're smarter than they really are. I can tell you this. I've never, in I have limited experience, I've never encountered a high school teacher that's as smart as the AI I work with every day.
I bet that's true. All right, man. Thank you. I appreciate it.
All right, Brian.
All right. Have a
great
one.
Talk to you soon. Have a good weekend.
Same.
Bye-bye.
508-996-0500 is how you get onto the show today. Hello.
Hello. Where I see AI should work on and address is the court system. The jury, the judge. Sometimes I shake my head at some of the verdicts that they come up with. Unbelievable. It's almost like they're tending to political liens, the Democrats versus the Republicans. I hate that. AI should be very objective and try to, like, make a judgment the same no matter who you are. That's what you're going to get from AI.
You know, I'm writing. You said something at the beginning is where you see. I recognize the voice. I know that you are a longtime former longtime school teacher. And since we were talking about teaching, but you shifted it to where you see, and you brought up the court system. You've invited a show. Maybe we'll do it next week. Where you believe artificial intelligence should first be used? You saying the courts? I bet somebody might think, well, what about for police, and you know, schools, maybe hospitals, you know, all of that. I think you have given me a good topic for some time down the road. As far as the courts, do you AI, I guess, can be objective, but is it nuanced enough to be able to tell if a defendant is really not guilty?
Yeah, I assume artificial intelligence gets its intelligence from people who are feeding it into a computer and spews it out.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I believe. I don't think it's doing it on its own yet. But someday it's going to realize you don't need to know anything. All you do is, you don't even have to go to school. All you do is AI will tell you the answer. AI will set the course. I called up for information, and the guy had to go on the phone to look at the meaning of what I was saying. He didn't know it himself. And he went, oh. And so they have to depend on some kind of little electronic brain. You don't even have to go to school anymore.
Well, I don't know that you have to go to school anymore. Not that you don't want to be educated, but you don't have to go to school to be educated.
Right. And everything that I learned, a lot of it is outdated. Society is moving so fast that what I realize and what I know and things I learned in the ninth grade, I still remember, and it's in fourth grade now, and the kids don't even remember it because the brain forgets a lot of things in the early grades. You don't realize a lot of stuff that you should know, and it doesn't carry with you all your life.
I guess that's true. And certainly, I remember Spot and what was that cat's name from back in first and rough and ready back in first and second grade. I remember those things. I remember my arithmetic. I don't even know if they do arithmetic like we used to do in the early grades. Do they even use the term arithmetic anymore?
No, it's mathematics, and it's I volunteered when I retired in the first grade teacher's room, and I had to stop and pause because it was so unbelievably the first week of school, addition and subtraction in a problem, and they didn't even learn how to do or review what they do. They assume you remember it from kindergarten.
Mm. Yeah.
Unbelievable. I shook my head. It was like, how? And the teacher's laughing. She goes, yeah. She goes, that's what we're putting up with. AI for school? I would have it do my objectives, my plans, because I spend hours doing that for something a kid can quickly do in a half an hour in the classroom. You're doing hours and hours of objectives, and the principal has to check it. The walkthroughs come on. The paperwork, AI, I welcome AI.
So, and maybe I have this wrong, but my vision is that you're not going to have anywhere near as many principals, assistant principals, all of that type of staff is going to be wiped out, replaced because of artificial intelligence. So the work that you're talking about, my guess is going to be handled by that artificial intelligence.
Yes, yeah, so probably there's a super principal AI that oversees all the AIs that are working in the classrooms. But what about discipline? How can AI identify there's a problem?
Well, I think that the AI that I'm envisioning isn't going to be everybody's going over to Normandin Middle School. You're going to be using AI at different learning centers or at home. So there's not going to be the big gang kind of discipline, and you're going to have more family members working from home. And that's going to be more the purview of mom and dad or whomever the guardian of the day is.
Yeah, but everywhere there's a breakdown in respect. That they don't care. Anybody thinks that they can be a little, have a tantrum and just do whatever they want, hit people, do more than just hit people. And what are you going to do about it? They're 16 years old. Their brain isn't formed. Well, I don't know. If their brain isn't formed, why are they driving a car at 16?
I always say we should be drinking before we're driving. I mean, legally, drinking before you're, you know, be able to drink at age 16 and not get a license until you're 18.
Okay. I never drank, so it never became an issue for me. No. I'm not a drinker.
I no longer am. All right. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Much thanks. I appreciate it. 508-996-0500. I know there are teachers that are listening today, and they are pulling their hair out if they have hair. But as you look down the road, I mean, didn't you anticipate this when the computers started coming into the classroom? I don't know exactly. Somebody called up here. Older gentleman calls Brian's Beat quite often. He had a price that New Bedford pays for schools. That's taxpayer money. And it was hundreds of millions of dollars, if I recall correctly. Can you imagine slicing that price by 3/4? I'm just going to give you a for instance. Say that price is $200 million. $200 million. And you can make it $50 million because you have done proper replacement utilizing artificial intelligence. You've been able to close down some schools because you don't have as many kids going into a brick and mortar building. You don't need anywhere near as many teachers. You don't need the support staff. Now, you're probably saying you're going to put a lot of people out of work. It's going to happen. It is going to happen. We see what's going on right now. This nation is $38, $39, $40 trillion in debt. People are crying poverty and can't pay for gasoline, can't pay for the gas for the house or the electricity. People can't afford to go out and get another car. Groceries are going right through the roof. There is going to be a give. And I'm not picking on any particular school department. I have always had a thought process about smaller schools, smaller government, and accountable education. This is how you're going. This is how it's going to happen. Artificial intelligence. There are still many things that need to be corrected within that system. But it's interesting. I'm going to kind of throw in another subject as we go into a break. But I guess we should look at it this way. Tim and I were talking earlier today about the fact that a blade fell off another wind turbine. This one was in Plymouth near the Bourne border. It fell off. And I made a comment to Tim and I said, well, maybe they'll think before they do it again. And he goes, well, you know what? Just because a plane crashes doesn't mean that they stop flying. And so I think he's right. They're going to keep on doing the wind turbines. And artificial intelligence is here to stay, and it's going to grow. And if we don't want to get comfortable and get used to it, well, we're going to be the ones out in the cold.
This is an act of terror.
This is WBSM.
Hey, how about a movie tonight, huh?
Wow, what's that aftershave you're wearing?
You high karate aftershave is so powerful, it drives women right out of their mind.
You know, most people are not business owners, but just about everybody knows one. The dirty little secret is, most owners don't qualify for a bank loan because they lack collateral. At Legitimate Business Funders, owners can get up to $2 million in funding with no collateral, even with a low credit score. And they can get that funding in a couple of days. Find Legitimate Business Funders online at LegitimateBusinessFunders.com. LegitimateBusinessFunders.com.
Hey. Back to Brian's Beat.
Come on now and meet everybody and hear us sing.
Formula was a formula based on common sense, based on deficits, based on how we've been treated over the years, and based on raw numbers. But they're based on very, very substantial facts and also past history.
Artificial intelligence at work. 508-996-0500. I was looking to my left where the TV is on New England Cable News, and they were actually doing a story. Many Gen Z ditch college for trade schools. Yeah, I think it's going to be a while before artificial intelligence is going to become your average, everyday carpenter or plumber. All right, let's get back to your calls. Hello.
Hey, Brian, how you doing?
Brian is. How are you? I was just talking about you.
I'm hanging in there, Brian.
Good.
One day at a time, that's all you can do, right?
I think you can do five if you try.
I was listening to a radio interview some time ago, or last month. It wasn't on WBSM. It was on another radio station. It was experts in AI. And they were talking about there's many things. I'm just trying to try to condense this the best I can. First of all, out of AI, the way they explain it is, it plateaus. There's only so far the intelligence of the technology is. It's not infinite. So it get to a point, it's going to plateau. And AI is only as good, and the previous caller mentioned it, as good as the information that goes into AI.
Mm. I believe that true, yeah.
And they also went on to talk about the dehumanization of civilization. Now, the previous caller or the teacher was talking about, you know, in the jury room and all that. But you're talking about a soulless machine. that's going to decide the fate of an individual based on their crime, and they can be locked away for the rest of their life. And you're regarding on a machine that can be manipulated by human beings. It's a tool, you know, like a mechanic and a plumber can use different various tools for different applications. It's the same thing with AI. So I think the danger is, and even have people who have gone to psych wards because they call it AI syndrome, where people, one guy was saying that there was a patient that he, so much information that the AI would contradict, he became overly dependent on the AI for every aspect of his life, a personal relationship almost with the technology, where they didn't want to talk to anybody. They became isolated. And then next thing you know, the guy's in the psych ward. He just lost his marbles.
Yeah. You know what? My guess is that happens in all walks of life, taking us to the basic computer that came out back in the early 1960s. I do appreciate the call, only because of time. I got to split the bills and get myself out of here.
The government has no business, at all its levels, has no business making odious separations, people based on race and other irrelevancies.
WBSM.
First you spread your bread with peanut butter and marshmallow puff, and have a puffer nutter.
Call 508-996-0500. Back to Brian's Beat.
She is literally the Polaroid of perfection. She has everything and she'll give it to you in a second. Looks can't deceive. She wears her heart on her sleeve.
Is it about stopping narcotics or is this about getting rid of President Maduro?
Time for me to pack the bag and get out, but I'll unpack around 1 o'clock tomorrow. Paul Santos gets you started at 7. Ken Pittman.